much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the live edition of Let's Paint, Exercise, and let's make blended drinks tonight, and we're taking your calls. All these wonderful things that we can do all at the same time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Imagine, Mr. Speaker, a world without balloons. How can we make sure that the injustice of there being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice that we all hold near and dear to our hearts. Imagine a world without balloons.
I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate it.
Oh, my God, I cannot stand that affected butt plug.
Oh, you betcha.
Thank God it's Friday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so not a raper.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you live in America?
Roll another one.
Don't freaking be like that, okay?
Just like the other one.
Thick, meaty, juicy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How's there not been a made-for-TV movie about your struggles?
Roll another one.
Yeah, booty might be burning.
Just like the other one.
God bless you for being honest.
This one seems to be about
sentiment. Don't tase me, bro!
And I don't have another cent.
Booger's not, booger's not, booger's not, booger's not.
Oh my God, that joint!
Oh my God, really?
Just pass it around!
Holy masquerade!
Well, don't booger that joint, my friend!
What? What?
And now,
hey guys, I smashed one of my balls in the refrigerator door.
Our feature presentation.
Oh. It's not a good story.
No.
I don't like that story so much.
Especially saying refrigerator. He also says library. I will bet a lot of money.
Yeah. And Valentine's as well.
Absolutely.
Probably. Sure. You guys think Rodney's ever been high?
Yeah.
There's a clip of Rodney in there. Yeah?
Yeah.
You think he's been high?
Yeah.
Rodney?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You think he's high a lot?
No, I just think he kind of was coming up in the heyday of the drug scene.
Right, but can you see him like cocaine?
Sure.
Rodney?
Yeah. I don't know.
I would pay any amount of money to see that.
Yeah.
Right. Yesterday we went on a little movie date, didn't we? Oh, it was all so much fun.
We did. We
so
did.
So fun.
We left
the station and we went to a theater close to us, mm-hmm. and we caught an 11:25 of the Brothers Grimsby.
Yeah, we did.
And it's a different experience when you're the only people in the theater.
The only people.
That's sort of fun.
Yeah, it was you, it was Chip, mm-hmm. it was me and producer Christine, and literally walked into the theater thinking at least maybe one or two people, right?
Right.
Nope.
Zero.
None.
It was great.
It's awesome.
We could make jokes and yell and stand up and laugh and just anything you want to do. It just felt wrong, but it felt so right.
It felt like a private screening. It really did.
It did.
It was nice.
It's only because we're losers and seeing a movie on Thursday at 11:25 a.m.
That's true.
But
yeah.
It was fun.
Worth it.
And are you happy that you went, Allie McKay?
I am.
Did Chip and I lead you astray?
Nope. No. And
you can trust us, Allie.
I can. Even though you described in great detail the scene that I was about to see with the elephant.
Okay, hold. Now, Chip, how do you think I did? Because I tried to describe it as completely as possible.
You did.
Mm-hmm. I did. Okay.
But it still did not. No. Yeah.
It didn't,
the visual, it's just too good.
It didn't
doesn't
really
do it justice.
Yeah.
What you described was about a 3 to a 4. What I got was a 470.
How? What I described was a 3 or 4. What kind of life are you living?
You know, know what I'm saying?
Holy
yeah,
crap.
It was. It was. It. Wow. It was a lot. And
a
it
lot.
Was great.
Right.
I laughed so hard I almost threw up at one point. Like my stomach was like almost like it was going through these heaving motions.
Yeah.
I almost puked from laughing.
That would have been so good.
So no, sweet. It wouldn't.
That would have been so good.
Especially because Kevin and Christine were sitting right next to her.
Yeah, that's I hope you would turn left.
Not on Christine.
Oh, really?
She's
you go
so
right?
Sweet.
I know she's sweet.
Yeah.
But you go right on me?
I puke on you, for sure.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Because I think you'd find it funny.
I would. We're going to have to rearrange the seating next time.
Okay.
So I'm not on either side of you.
But I like that at one point I turned to you and I went, oh, my God, this is so sad. Because there is a sweet storyline involved, too. And I said, Kevin, really? And I had tears in my eyes.
She was upset at me for taking her to a movie that was so sad.
And your response was, well, you're an idiot. Okay,
just right response, too.
It was touching.
Anyway, if you have a chance this weekend and you haven't seen it yet, it only made like $3.5 million or something.
Well, America's wrong.
America's wrong, right. So go see that movie if you haven't had a chance see it yet. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Yeah.
For once. On the program today, we have your Radiohead tickets.
Yeah.
We're also going to do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to Iceland.
Wait, today they're going to find out if they're going to be partying in a glacier?
Correct.
Best weekend ever.
Correct. Also on the program, we have Gerard Carmichael.
Yes, we do.
I have trouble with his name. That's why I slowed it down. The Carmichael Show is so good.
It's so good, and it feels like a throwback to like a family comedy, just how it's shot and whatnot, but then they tackle every issue happening today, so it's so good.
Usually you get tackle every issue or funny. You don't get both.
Nope.
And this is way both.
I love it.
So it's really good. We're happy to talk to him today on the show. We have your tickets for Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and we're going to do the grand prize for drawing for that as well, where you get to go to 3 metropolis cities, San Francisco, Chicago, and New York.
Nice.
And we have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to a certain UFC fighter named Daniel Cormier, who's fighting John Jones at UFC 197. That's coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What?
You know, I like to bring you auditions and opportunities for fame and fortune sometimes here on the Showbiz Beat. If you're doing a casting call for a project or a reality show or something, I'll give it a mention.
Right.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to announce the Los Angeles Rams are beginning their 2016 cheerleader audition process. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's really weird.
That's right.
It's really weird to think about that for a long time and then hear you say the Los Angeles
Rams. Los Angeles Rams, baby. Football in Los Angeles.
How about that?
I think they're playing in the backyard of some guy's house. I forget. I don't think they have a stadium yet. So tickets are really expensive. It's like 8 seats. But
can you check those facts a little later on today?
Cheerleaders. They have announced their cheerleading auditions. First, you can go to an optional workshop to learn how to shake that groove thang. Right? Shake your moneymaker.
I've already got that.
Well,
so
you've got that.
Then what's after that?
But all those happen on March 20th, which is this Sunday coming up, the 24th and the 26th. Those will be happening at the 24-hour fitness clubs throughout the Los Angeles area. And then the preliminary auditions will be held April 2nd and April 3rd. At USC's Galen Center, which apparently the basketball team won't be using anymore.
They're
taking some time off. No, they're taking some time off. Lost by a point last night. You see that?
Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. So, look, if you want to be a Los Angeles Ram cheerleader, you have to submit an application by Thursday, March the 31st. Okay? You hear me?
Yes, Thursday the 31st.
Thursday, March 31st.
You got to be 18 years or older.
Okay.
And, of course, once again, you have to be able to shake your moneymaker.
Plus, get ready for the riches, man. They really pay.
Oh, they make such good money.
God, they make like $1 million a game now.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Or $100. I can't remember. It's either $1 million or $100.
Yeah.
They literally get nothing.
But you get to be a cheerleader in the NFL.
Yes.
You know, it's all about money for you, isn't it, you greedy bastard?
Well, I'm
saying, how about doing something that you want to do?
I'm saying it probably takes a lot of work and a lot of time.
How about life hacks?
I got my own life hacks. I don't need yours, sir.
You've got like one good life hack.
I have a couple. I'm saving them up. Like in 10 years when I have three, I'm gonna publish them in a pamphlet.
Anyway.
a flyer.
I was going to say book.
Visit cheer4theRams.com. Cheer4theRams.com. No spaces. So all the information you can get about the audition processes are there. Go Rams!
We're still going to ram it, though, right?
Oh, we're going to ram it.
Okay.
No question.
Should we stop you from ramming it? No.
Nope.
Eagles are coming down. 2017, by the way.
I feel like that's what everybody's thinking. Like, when is my team coming here?
Yeah, 2017.
2017.
Circling the calendar.
The whole year?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, this is sad news. Sting is retiring.
He was still singing?
Not the singer one.
Oh.
The wrestling one.
Oh.
Sting is set to retire from the WWE. The 56-year-old legend apparently hurt his neck very badly during the WWE Night of Champions last September. And he just can't recover at that age. It's just too difficult and too risky for him to continue on his career path. He's got spinal stenosis, they say, which is not good.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
However, the rumors are he's going to take a non-physical role with the company, and we'll make this official announcement next month. So, sorry, wrestling fans, but our thoughts and prayers are with you. And are you ready for
some football?
Finger in the Booty Ass Bitch, the movie?
Yeah?
That's what I'm saying. Amber Rose is still milking her relationship with Kanye West, despite the fact that they broke up back in 2010. Sources are saying now that she has so much dirt on Kanye West that she's now shopping her story to publishers and movie companies. Yes, please. That's the book I want.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, this is not going over well with the Kardashian clan. And word is that Kim, and more importantly, her pimp, Kris Jenner, are flipping out about the potential.
Then I'm even more for it.
Story. That's what I'm saying, yeah. So they're talking to her people about ponying up cash to keep her quiet. Amber said she would consider the offer, according to sources, for $10 million.
Oh, she could get more.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's got some
dirt.
I'll
pay her more for that story.
You have that much
I want
money?
Fingers in the Booty Ass Bitch, the movie.
I do, too.
In IMAX.
I don't
3D.
Know. I'm not positive it used to be in IMAX.
Fingers in the Booty Ass Bitch.
I'm not sure.
Fingers in the Booty Ass Bitch. Fingers in the Booty Ass Bitch. The movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lily Collins. Oh, Lily. Lily. You know Lily Collins.
Sure.
She was Snow White. 27 years old today. Adam Levine from Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Kevin loves Maroon 5.
He does.
Every time we talk about Maroon 5, he just insists that we all give love to them.
Even when we don't talk about him.
I know. He just always wants us to give love to Maroon 5.
What is that, Kevin?
Damn good.
Yeah.
Comedian Dane Cook is 44 years old today. It's Bean's best friend. They chat all the
from
time
Barber-
on Twitter. I don't think Dane Cook was in Barbershop, too.
Mm-mm.
I'll wait.
Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, 50 years old today. TV host Mike Rowe.
Mike Rowe's got that voice down here.
54 years old today.
Yeah, I don't like him. He makes it sound like children.
Yeah, he's got a man's voice.
Yeah.
And I guess this is what you were waiting for. Queen Latifah's 46.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Boy, you guys have done some bad VO work.
Yeah.
The both of you.
Yeah.
Give some love to Maroon 5. All hail Queen Latifah. Ugh. Blech. Blech. Blech.
One time Ralph came up to me and he's like, why do you do that? Because you don't like most of the people that you're introducing. And I said, good point.
I don't fame and fortune. That's why.
That's what it was.
Same reason he was an NFL cheerleader.
He'd get that Rams money.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have tickets for Batman v Superman.
Yeah, we do.
And just after 7 o'clock, we have Daniel Cormier talking about his fight with Jon Jones at UFC 197. But first, it is Friday morning and time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies.
Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch this weekend. Real interesting.
Interesting good?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
So no, okay.
No, really. Sort
yeah,
of,
but for
sort
me.
Of, not for you,
right.
No, no. Because it's very little loud until we get to the end. But let's start off with a film in limited release called Midnight Special. The great Michael Shannon stars in this film, along with Joel Edgerton, Kirsten Dunst. Pretty good cast. Shannon plays a father whose son possesses special powers. Where does he get them? Where is he from? What's going on? Well, those are the things they have to learn together as they go on the run, because people are after them. You know, when you get special powers, people are after you. That's the one thing we've learned, right?
Right? Man.
Here's some clips from the trailer of a film called Midnight Special.
What do you know about Alton Meyer?
I wouldn't know where to start. You would have fits.
Things would break. It was like a feeling.
Kind of feeling. They think you're a weapon. And the ranch thinks you're their savior.
Dad. It's okay. Ah!
I don't know why you're yelling.
Oh. Felt like that.
He really doesn't pose a threat. He's got special powers that people just don't understand.
But they're hunting him, aren't they?
Yeah, but you
okay.
don't know. You don't know whether he's good. Is he bad? As a parent,
we're all going to die tonight.
As a parent, when your kid becomes special, it's hard.
You parents, you're special little snowflakes.
No, not special like precious special, like special needs, special difficulties, special. Just anything makes them weird or different. You do anything to protect your kid.
That's why we screamed.
You lace up your hat. Be on your way. Miracles from Heaven. Speaking of kids, this is about Jesus saving kids. You know how they do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young girl who's suffering from a rare disorder. She is miraculously cured after she survives a terrible accident. She plunges down a great distance and hits her head and gets cured because Jesus. That's why. That's how that happened. Jennifer Garner stars in this story based on a real story?
It is.
Carly Rogers. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, parents who believe their kids are special and have a hard time with that, that's bad. But, oh, when the other side reaches over, then you're all on board, aren't you?
She fell out of a tree and then was healed.
But Jesus?
Someone.
Or
brain.
Or S happens.
Power.
Or S happens.
Or gravity, maybe.
Or is it A Miracle from Heaven is the name of this film? Ugh. Jennifer Garner stars. Ugh.
Oof. So you're in?
Take your insulin before you go or else you come out with a diabetic coma. From Miracles of Heaven. Here are clips from the trailer.
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
Doctor, please. This is our little girl. I'm scared, Mom.
Me too.
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right, and it didn't kill her, and it didn't paralyze her. It healed her.
Yes.
He told me I'd be fine. I've still got
a lot of fight left. Who told you you'd be fine?
Jesus. Jesus told her. Look, if Jesus wanted to cure a little kid, couldn't he do it without having her plummet 30 feet from a tree and hitting her head?
I imagine, sure.
I'm sure you could just step in and go, hey, kid, come here. Bink! Just flicker in the forehead.
How boring is
that? It's cooler. It's cooler than making a kid fall 30 feet and smack her head. Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Sounds like God's kind of a dick. That's all I'm saying. If you make a kid fall out of a tree and hit his head to get better, you're kind of a dick. How about you show up and just fix the kid, if that's your intention? Don't make the kid plummet and smack its head. Come on.
Ralph at krock.com.
Just saying. Right? Who's with me? Everybody. Thank you. The program is also in limited release this weekend. An Irish sports journalist played by Chris O'Dowd. Oh, I love him. Becomes convinced that Lance Armstrong's performances during the Tour de France seem a little suspicious. Why could he be so good? Drugs? Yes. This is the story behind the story of how they uncovered Lance Armstrong's performance-enhancing drug abuse. Ben Foster, Chris O'Dowd, directed by Stephen Frears, great director. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Program.
Did you ever visit Ferrari? Can I get a yes or no on that?
Extraordinary allegation must be met with extraordinary proof.
I've never tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
I used to believe in this sport, and Armstrong is killing it.
How many times do I have to say it? I've never tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
You sold the bikes to pay for drugs?
You and me were all on the program.
I didn't sign up for this.
I'm Lance Armstrong, and I will not be brought down.
That's right. He will not be brought down.
How'd that go?
Until he is. And then that happens.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Such a big liar. I used to believe in this sport, and now he's ruining it. The wildly popular sport of guys on bikes.
He's ruining the bicycle.
Ugh. I wish Jesus would throw these guys 30 feet off a tree. Right? Who's with me? Everybody. Thank you. The Bronze also opens up in limited release this weekend. Melissa Rauch plays a foul-mouthed former gymnastic bronze medalist who is desperate to hold on to her local celebrity status and then starts training a new star athlete who is on the rise. It is the hilarious world of competitive gymnastics. Melissa Rauch stars in this funny movie, Gary Cole, as her dad. Great lineup. Here is some clips from the trailer of the movie The Bronze.
All of America talking about your bronze.
I am a gold medalist. You don't want to with me.
With whoever I want, whenever I want. I'll with them so hard, I'll rip their taints in half. And, or one part of the taint, and I'll lock it around my neck. Give the other half of the taint lock it to your mom. Just shove up her.
Have you thought any more about working at the gym?
I'm not a coach. I'm a star. I was on Dancing with the Stars. It's not called Dancing with the Coaches.
That looks great.
Yeah, she's a funny lady, that Melissa Rauch. And lastly, here, Kevin, here's some louds.
This is my movie, yeah.
Finally, you get some louds.
Yeah.
It is the Divergent series, Allegiant, Part 1, Chapter 7, Page 38. Can we break down these movies anymore right? With the parts and the pieces and the volumes and the chapters and the verses? Come on. The Divergent series, Allegiant, Part 1. That's a movie title.
It is, actually.
Oh, yeah. Jesus throws you 30 feet out of a tree. People
a
who named
today,
this
Ralph.
Movie. Shailene Woodley returns, of course, as, I want to call her Triss? Does that ring a bell?
This might surprise you. I don't remember.
She's got to escape with four. That's another person. And there's a wall. And then you got to go on the other side of it. And then Jeff Daniels waiting for you. And he gives you a check or something. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I'm sure it's very entertaining.
Spoiler alert.
I'm sure it's very loud. Here are some clips from the trailer of the most recent Divergent series, Allegiant, Part 1, period.
If we could rescue people from a toxic environment and put them in a safe place like Chicago, perhaps they would heal it.
And I'm one of those people.
You're the only one.
They're shutting us down.
Chicago will be erased. Everyone we know will die.
This isn't us against us. This is us against the people on the other side of that wall.
They're trying to destroy us.
Where are you going?
We're saving the city.
Once again, what are you yelling about?
It seemed like that
She's
was appropriate.
She's saving a city. It's not
a war cry.
It's not a zombie coming after her or anything.
That safe place Chicago that she talked
about.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to build a wall around it and make Chicago pay for it. I don't know. I don't understand any of this, but it's a movie.
The first two were good.
See it, don't see it, whatever.
I'm in.
Whatever
you don't
happens.
Care.
Tell me. Jesus is going to throw you out of a tree anyway. What difference does it make? It's all pops and buzzes now, right? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Daniel Cormier in the next hour. Plus your tickets for Batman v Superman. And then in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, Gerard Carmichael will join us. There's a story in the New York Times that says 40% of young adults say eating cereal in the morning is just too much work.
Yeah, it's the process of pouring it, eating it with the spoon, and then cleaning it up. It is too much. And
now,
cereal, the sales are down. They're way down.
Yeah, significantly.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. I go to cereal if I don't want to, you know, spend much time. That,
yeah.
to me, is the easiest.
It's quick and easy.
You
absolutely.
Pour milk in, and all you got to do is rinse it. Really, it's just a two-second thing. But they're saying, well, it's wait. When you start talking about pouring the milk,
yeah.
you know, you got all that time.
Right.
And then you got to get the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to spoon the cereal into your mouth.
Ugh.
And by then, you're already late for work.
I'm exhausted.
Let alone rinsing the bowl. So we asked Dave, the King of Mexico, to get us a spokesperson, and he has, I believe, Max Gilbrand, who joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Max, welcome. Thank you for talking to us today.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Max, you are a spokesperson for MAC. What exactly is MAC?
MAC is an organization I started online, Millennials Against Cereal.
Okay.
MAC.
Okay.
Okay, so
well, I haven't actually started it, but I'm going to get around to it.
Wow.
The article here is sort of hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that pouring milk, eating cereal, and rinsing out your bowl is too much work. But that's too much work?
Oh, just talking about it is too much work, bro. Look, listen.
How long does it take you to eat cereal?
I don't know, man. I don't do it.
No.
Because, look, you got to, first of all, buy cereal, okay?
Right.
Okay.
All right. Let's say I Instacart that, man, and I just go all the way around that process.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then I got to buy milk.
Okay.
All right.
Is there like dairy Uber? Can I have milk brought to me?
Well, I think you can get that on Instacart as well
if
you really need to.
Then I got two things now I got to deal with.
Okay.
Cereal and milk.
Okay.
Then I got to get a bowl.
Right.
Where's the bowl?
It's in your cupboard. You should have dishes.
I mean,
right. So there's a door, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I got to open the door to the cupboard.
Right.
Right.
I got to get some sort of, I don't know, mechanism to get the bowl off the shelf.
A hand. You use your hand. Max.
So I get that, and then I got to pour cereal in the bowl, and then I got to pour milk in the bowl.
Right.
Like, who am I?
You're Max Gilbrand, spokesperson.
I know, but
for
like, Max. I'm not, what am I, Mario Batali? What am I, some sort of super chef? I got to get cereal and then milk and then put them together. Like, what am I making, lasagna?
No, you're just eating cereal. It's one of the easiest things in the world to do.
I'm trying to show you how not easy it is.
Right, but I feel like everything that you've described so far probably takes 20 seconds.
Okay, now I have a bowl full of cereal and milk, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Now what do I do?
You
get a spoon.
It.
Right, I have to get a spoon. Where's the spoon?
It's in your drawer
right.
with your silverware.
So, what happens there? I got to grab the thing on the end of the drawer.
And pull it open.
Pull it all the way open.
Right.
Right.
Sometimes the spoons are in the back.
Or move them to the front, maybe.
And then I got to lift the spoon out of the drawer.
Right.
Then walk that spoon back to the table. Then sit down, because I'm exhausted.
Right, sure.
And then start putting the spoon into the cereal and shoveling it out of the bowl. What am I? Like, construction worker? Now I'm digging ditches for breakfast?
I don't know that it's digging ditches. You're just putting a spoonful of cereal in your mouth.
Oh, my Lord.
That doesn't seem that hard.
Hey, let me tell you something. Smoothie, I pick it up at Robex. Boom, in my mouth with a straw. Raw.
Right.
That's breakfast. Easy. Just, this is one step. That's it. One step. Breakfast.
That's you slurping.
Right. Yeah. So if cereal, if Mr. Cereal Man, if the man that makes, if Big Cereal wants me to eat their product,
right.
I'm going to have to make things a little bit more user-friendly, okay? Is there an app? Is there a cereal or app? There's like a Special K app.
What would the app
like
do
a
for
Fruit
you?
Fruit Loop app.
Right, but what would the Fruit Loop
like
app?
An Applejack app.
Right.
Right, we get what an app is and the different
how
cereals.
How would that help you?
Applejack app.
Yeah, we got it.
Right.
I hit the button and it just feeds me.
It just feeds you.
That's not possible. That's like some Jetsons kind of stuff.
Wow.
We're not there yet.
Okay, closed-minded lady. Let's just pretend nothing's possible. Let's just forget it because the future's dead. Okay.
Okay,
nice. That's your life, not mine, old lady. I'm living for tomorrow, okay?
You sound like it.
Hey, how about a cereal bowl made out of cereal? Then I just pour the milk in the bowl and I eat the bowl and you make a spoon out of sugar. Boom. Life hacked.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51. We have the light heavyweight champ of the world in the UFC. John.
Oh,
you're- you're going to get your ass so kicked.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
Say it. Daniel Cormier is what
oh,
I meant.
Sweet Lord in heaven.
And we're talking to Daniel Cormier right after the top of the hour.
Rest in peace, Kevin.
First, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Wow. What are we going to do with the pieces?
How dare you?
I guess we'll just put them in a bucket.
That's your answer?
Well, we got to do something with his pieces when he gets ripped to them.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to show business news, coming up March 25th through the 27th, it's WonderCon!
Yay!
It's an amazing Comic-Con. Has all the stuff that you want in an event like this. You got your comic books, you got your science fiction, your fantasy, your cosplay, your celebrity guests. It's all there at Comic-Con's WonderCon, happening at the Convention Center down there in Los Angeles from the 25th through the 27th. You can go to comiccon.org. That's comic-con.org for more details and to get your tickets. Or if you'd like tickets, why don't you call me? I got some right here. I've got...
We got a winner!
No, we don't have a winner. We don't have a winner yet. I haven't even given out the phone number yet. I've got pairs of single-day passes to go to WonderCon. Three of them, in fact. So why don't you give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through, we'll get a pair of single-day passes to attend WonderCon. It really is a great con. You know I'm a big nerd and a big geek, and I love conventions. And this is one of the best. So you will have a good time at WonderCon. Speaking of nerdy, geeky things, The Big Bang Theory just announced they're adding another character to the show. Johnny Galecki's character, Leonard, has a dad. Right? We all do.
Sure.
And they've announced who will be playing him on the show. Judd Hirsch. Aww. Two-time Emmy winner Judd Hirsch will play Leonard's father on that show. Apparently, Johnny went up to Judd Hirsch during a tribute to Jim Burrows, the director, who had directed a lot of Taxi episodes as well as a lot of Big Bang Theory episodes, and said, hey, why don't you come on and play my dad? And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, that easy?
That's how it works.
Showbiz is awesome wow. when you're on the inside, not on the outside where they built that wall and made you pay for it.
What side are you in, Ralph?
I'm on the outside. Looking in, yeah. That's it. Heidi Klum is in the news. She says she has insecurities, just like everyone else.
Sure.
She says wearing bikinis on the beach is downright intimidating because
right?
you're in the public, she says, and you're almost naked. So she really has issues with people looking at her when she's in a bikini because of her body. Okay. Listen, I'm not a woman. But I think I can safely speak for all other women in this particular case when I said, shut up!
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She says, however, she has no problem walking the catwalk in Victoria's Secret lingerie and that kind of stuff because that's something more for yourself, she says. But wearing a bikini in public, that's more other people looking at you. Makes no goddamn sense whatsoever.
What is she talking about?
That's why she's a model and not a philosopher. And don't say Blake Shelton's a drunk, or you'll get slapped with a lawsuit, just like In Touch magazine. Blake Shelton is suing the tabloid, claiming that stories they ran about him nearly ruined his career. He said lots of things that they published were simply and plainly false. For instance, he said he's never been to rehab or hit rock bottom due to alcohol, like they claimed, does not drink excessively. Like they've claimed, does not binge drink or have a drinking problem. Me either, Blake. I'm with you. He says he does not suck down vodka before 11 a.m. No, I'm with you. I wait till 11 a.m. on the dot. That's when I start drinking my vodka. He says he does not slur his words or stumble when he's been drinking.
And I do that when I haven't been drinking.
That's right. And most importantly, he insists he has never urinated on a mailbox. And I do, too. I insist that.
Okay. That was a story?
Apparently it was.
All right.
Yes. He also says that his ex-wife, Miranda Lambert, never caught him with a bunch of naked women in his home in Tennessee.
Was it a different home?
No, it was somebody else's home. Okay. And all these stories were false, and he wants the big payday to teach them a lesson.
Must be weird.
All those stories, by the way, make a great country song, so he should just maybe think twice.
It sounds fun.
It must be weird if you're an A-list celebrity and you see things that are just blatantly not true.
Yeah, but at some point, don't you just go, and you just roll your eyes and keep living. Because I never knew any of these stories.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And now I do.
He peed on the mailbox. That's
now,
awesome.
Now I'm always going to think Blake Shelton. No, he's the mailbox peer. And he probably didn't do it, but now it's in my head, and I didn't even know it was a thing until he brought it up. Sometimes you just have to let that stuff go because it'll die its own death. You keep it alive longer when you take it into court.
This is a mess.
Plus, you're Blake Shelton. You win.
Yeah, you already win.
Because you got all the money, and you got the TV show, and you got all the records, and you got Gwen Stefani. So, okay, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. Tabloids suck, but... Right?
Right.
Right.
Solid. We're all just people.
We're all just people. Isn't that what we're trying to say?
Good point.
New catchphrase.
Yep.
Hey, if Jesus is so great, how come he couldn't kick of Kings and Prophets on the air? Huh? Right? Exactly. Boom.
But I'm not sure he's behind the TV show.
He loves it.
Okay.
He's the creator.
That's right. Of all, including of Kings and Prophets, ABC has pulled the plug on the series after just two episodes.
Well, they gave it a good try.
They did.
Wow.
They said, who wants to see David and Goliath? Nobody? All right, we're good then. We're going to put on some reruns of Castle. Thanks. Yeah. 2.5 million viewers was all it got at its highest. So you won't be seeing of Kings and Prophets anytime again soon. That must have been an expensive show to make, too, because that was a big biblical epic with a lot of loincloths and things, a lot of body makeup, you know. Those things run, they're expensive. In its place, you can look for episodes of Beyond the Tank.
Beyond the Tank.
Yes.
Which is...
I'm assuming that is a Shark Tank spinoff where they do updates on people who have successfully gotten money out of FUBU.
Hmm?
That's one of the guys is FUBU,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Damien...
Dash? Ish?
We have no facts in this show beat whatsoever. It's all just speculation.
I'd say that's true in general.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Lily Collins is 27 years old today. Adam Levine, he sings for a little band called Maroon 5. Kevin, how do you feel about Maroon 5?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
All right, if you insist. He's 37 years old today. Dane Cook is 44. Alice in Chains guitarist Jerry Cantrell turns 50 years old today. Queen Latifah, Bean Huston, what should we do about Queen Latifah?
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
All right, we'll hail her. She's 46 years old today. And TV show host Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe. Is 54 years old today. Do you watch that show he does over there, the Dirty
Deeds Jobs?
Done Dirt Cheap? Or whatever?
That's a song, I think. I don't think
whatever.
That's a show.
It's him, and he's like a hooker or something. I don't know.
I'm not positive he's a hooker.
He does it dirty. I've heard he's dirty, dirty, dirty. He's a dirty, dirty man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in a few minutes, we're giving away tickets to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. If you would like to play in a game to win those tickets, you could call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll play that next. First, though, the champ, the light heavyweight champ of the UFC, Daniel Cormier, joins us. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Very well. How are you today?
Good, man. Good, good. Just hanging out. Getting ready to train.
I feel like you've been waiting for this fight for a long, long time.
I tell you exactly, it's been 13, 14, it'll be 15 months by the time we get locked inside the octagon on April 23rd. 15 months and 20 days. It'll be from January 3rd to April 23rd of 2016. From the moment I left the octagon last year, I started thinking about this rematch.
Now, when you left the octagon, you sort of disappeared from sight for a little bit, and you didn't go on Fox Sports 1 for about a month. Was that a super difficult month for you?
Tough. I mean, I mourned. I let it burn. I let it burn. I didn't want to just, like, be okay, you know? It needed to really to dig at me and eat away at me, and I let it. I let it just eat at me, and I let it break me down so that when I rebuilt myself, I could be a better version of myself.
Were you able to pinpoint things that he did that worked against you, and are you a better fighter now than you were then?
I'm a better fighter today than I was when I fought John last January. And, yes, I have found some things that he did very well that worked against me, and I found some things that I was doing, which in turn allowed him to do those things. There were a lot of things that I did in that fight that were mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes in that fight in regards to how I went after John. Inside of the octagon. I think that we've addressed those, and we've addressed those over a long period of time to make sure that I don't do them anymore.
I'm a a little concerned with an interview that I saw with both of you saying you're both willing to die for this fight. What the heck is going on?
That's how much it means to the both of us. Competitively, for our legacy, for my legacy for sure, it means that much. It means that we would have to, I'd be willing to go to hell and back to get this victory on April 23rd. Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean that with every part of me, too. I'm not just saying that for show. I'm willing to go to hell and back to beat this guy on April 23rd.
I feel like you both are being very serious. A lot of people, yeah. There's a lot of smack talk. There's a lot that goes on in the UFC. You're Conor McGregor's, different people like that. But it seems like you two do genuinely hate each other.
Yeah, it's deep.
Is that true? And B, is it going to be easy to put aside once you get in the ring?
You have to be able to put it aside in order to compete to the best of your ability. Last time we fought, I wasn't able to do that. I wasn't able to eliminate all the negative feelings that I had towards him. So I went into a fight. Nobody wants to fight. I want to compete. I want to go out there and I want to be in a competitive environment. When I'm in a competitive environment, I do well. John and I's feelings are very well documented for each other. But at the end of the day, I kind of owe him a little bit because I truly do believe that he's made me great because I've always strived to beat him. So in order to beat him, I knew I had to be a better version of myself, better than I ever imagined I could be. So as much as I dislike the guy, I do owe him a bit of gratitude for making me reach my full potential. Wow.
I'm guessing you're not going to thank him that night, though.
Maybe not go out for,
no.
I'm with, for wings
I'm
after.
I'm going to take with my fists and my elbows and my knees and my kicks. And I'm never going to – I mean, this – what you guys just got is about as much as I will ever thank him because I'll never say it to his face.
Now, he's been out of the ring for a long time as well. Do you have any idea what kind of fighter you're going to see when you meet him?
We don't change all that much once we get to a certain level. You know, we can't add little things, but we are who we are. That's why John's 2-0 and I'm 17-1. We are who we are. That's what got us to where we are today. So we won't change all that much, but I'm sure he'll have a few different things that he'll toy around with. We'll see. You know, John has kind of lived a lifestyle outside of the octagon that's fairly reckless, and I think that honestly translates to his style outside the octagon, his ability to just let go with no worries. Let's see if, you know, he's clean now, he's sober, he's doing everything right. Let's see if he still has the ability to just let go as he did before when normal people think of consequences. You know, like we all think of consequences. Mm-hmm. He never really did, and that actually was how it was in life and in the octagon. And when you can fight free like that, you're very dangerous. Let's see if now that he's thinking like a normal 27-year-old, where there are consequences if he still has that ability to just let loose.
That's interesting that you bring that up because we talked to him last week and he said he's never trained sober. He's always, you know, gone to practice to work out and he's been coming off either a bender or drinking the night before. And he feels now that he's training unlike he's ever trained before and feels better. Do you think that might actually hinder him once he gets in the ring because now he's going to be thinking more instead of just going for it?
I think that's all questions that will be answered on April 23rd, you know, for all that he did, you know, the fact that he could become the greatest light heavyweight fighter in history. Mm-hmm. While going into practice on benders or fighting after partying. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 weeks before he fought Anthony Johnson, when he got into that accident, I think they found condoms, Cheetos, and, like, marijuana. That is a guy that's going into a championship fight. That's pretty loose lifestyle.
Yeah.
So with that guy having the ability and the confidence to go into a high-level competitive field like that with no worry after doing those things, that's actually a really big attribute. What happens now that he sees everything clearly? Mm-hmm. So, hey, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I know people may not think that's a factor, but that really is a factor.
We're talking to Daniel Cormier, who, of course, is the current UFC light heavyweight champion facing Jon Jones. And I wanted to ask you a personal question. I hope it's not too personal, but he had trouble with driving impaired. And you've had some real tragedy in your life as a result of that. Is that part of where the hate comes from?
You know, I never really addressed that publicly, you know, because I never want people to think that I'm tying everything together. But John and I's issues initially were from some stuff that was said when we met each other. But then right afterwards, he had his first incident with the car, and then he had another incident with the car. And then this very last one, I say it time and time again, it's very dangerous, these things. You know, so when it's that dangerous, you're not only playing essentially Russian roulette with your life, it's other people's lives too, And sometimes people who really don't have a say, people who don't have a voice, they can be affected in the most tragic way, you know. So it is dangerous, and that does play a little bit of a part into why I wish he was a little more responsible, because in these instances that he's done these things, it really hasn't been the most punishment.
How are you going to spend the time between now and April 23rd, and do you wish you could fight right this second?
I could. I actually feel like I could go in there and fight 25 minutes right now. I'm in great shape. Physically, I feel very good. Mentally, I feel very good. So now I'm just going to continue to sharpen my tools. You know, every day I'm going to get better. I like to say you get 1% better every day. Just 1%. I have to get better by leaps and bounds every time I step into the gym. I got to get better by 1% every day. And if I do that, come April 23rd, I'll be ready to get my hand raised once again.
Well, it's going to be a great fight. It's UFC 197, Daniel Cormier fighting John Jones. It's going to be a fantastic fight. And the best of luck, my friend. We are really rooting for you.
Thank you guys so much for talking to me again. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, DC.
Bye-bye.
We have Gerard Carmichael coming up just after 8 o'clock. I can barely say his name.
Yes, you can.
Barely. I've said it many times, and I've said it many times wrong.
Struggle.
That's how I work. Right now, though, it's Batman v Superman. What are we doing here, Ralph?
Well, since we've got a new Batman, Ben Affleck, of course, in Batman v Superman, and we have a relatively new Superman in Henry Cavill, I thought it would be interesting to go back and look over all the many actors who played these two roles over the years. Dozens of actors have played Batman and Superman on television, in movies, in animation. Lots of great actors have done it. And if you are a true Batman, Superman fan, you will recognize the voices of these actors. So what we've done is taken some clips from famous performances of Batman and Superman over the years. We're going to play a clip. If you can identify the actor playing Batman or Superman, then you will win tickets to our screening and be entered in the grand prize where you get to visit three metropolises in the great United States. We're calling this game Superhero Clip.
Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. You want to see the movie, then you gotta hear the clips. It's Superhero Clips.
Next week, Batman and Robin clash with the Green Hornet and Kato. Batman.
It's Superhero. Superhero Clips.
Up in the sky. Look.
It's a bird.
It's a plane. It's Superman. Superman.
Production.
How about that?
Production. Wow. How about that?
As soon as I heard that, I was like, Muggs is not trying to do Foo Fighters. Tell me that's not going to happen.
He did, and he did.
Did it pretty well.
He did.
Pretty well. All right. Let's start with Alan calling from Norwalk. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Alan, you understand I'm going to be playing a clip for you of an actor playing either Superman or Batman. You need to identify the actor, right?
Got it.
All right. Here is your clip.
When you asked me if I believed in life in other planets, you had no idea how ironic that question was. I'm from a planet called Krypton.
What actor is that?
Is that Tom Welling as Superman?
Tom Welling from Smallville. Done. Absolutely. Congratulations. You got tickets. You're going to see Batman v Superman.
Way to go, Alan. Hold on. Sorry.
Kevin hung up on you.
Sorry, I didn't.
You know you're somebody. You know you're somebody when Kevin hangs up on you.
Let's put him on hold. Abraham in Hawthorne. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
Abraham, going to play you a clip. You need to tell me the actor that is playing either Superman or Batman in this clip.
Selina. Don't you see? We're the same.
What actor was that?
All right. It's going to be a guess. I'm going to say Val Kilmer.
Oh, no. It was Michael Keaton Batman Returns.
The best Batman.
Stop.
Let's not get started with that.
Close.
So bad.
I will end you.
Let's go to Adam in Simi Valley. Hi, Adam.
Hey, party people.
Hey, Adam, here's your clip of an actor playing either Batman or Superman. Identify the actor.
Like any other citizen of the planet, I must obey the law. I am not above it. You, it seems, believe you are.
All right, who's that?
All right, that is Val Kilmer.
No, sorry, Dean Cain. Dean Cain from Clark and Lois, The Adventures of Superman.
Thank you for calling. All right, let's go.
It's harder than I thought it would be.
They're just going to keep guessing the same one.
Seeing Val Kilmer until he shows
somebody's
up.
Somebody's going to be right.
Not in this game, they won't.
Oh, Chris in Whittier, hi.
Hey, how you
Hey, morning, Ralph Kevin.
Hey, right. Chris, I hope you can identify the actor playing either Batman or Superman in this clip.
I had a hunch that you'd try something not quite kosher. I've been wearing bat plugs up my nose.
Do you know the actor?
Mr. Adam West himself.
That's
Adam
right. West.
Correct.
That's the best Batman. Boom.
Take it easy.
Congratulations. You're going to see Batman v Superman.
All right. We got two winners. We have three more. Robert in Covina. Hi there.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Good, Robert. Here's your clip of an actor playing Batman or Superman. Who is it?
You're a dreamer, Lex Luthor. A sick, twisted dreamer. Your plan couldn't possibly work.
Christopher Reeve.
Boom.
That's correct.
You're going to the movie. Congratulations.
People know their stuff.
They do.
All right. Let's go to Paul calling us from Stanton. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good, Paul. Here is your clip. You'd need to identify this actor playing either Batman or Superman.
How did you know what I said?
Oh, because I'm Superman, and somehow I think you've always believed in me all this time, haven't you?
Yeah, that's George Reeves.
Boom! You're the man. The original Superman from TV. Well done, sir.
All right. We have one pair left. Let's go to Caesar in Wilmington. Hi, Caesar.
Good morning.
Hey, Caesar, I'm going to play a clip. Identify the actor playing Superman or Batman here.
Why are all the gorgeous ones homicidal maniacs? Is it me?
Do you know that actor?
Adam West?
Nope, that was George Clooney from Batman and Robin.
We just had Adam West.
Yes, we did.
It was just an answer like 30 seconds ago.
Be nice. All
right.
He's confused.
All right. Let's go to Rob in San Dimas. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's going on?
Rob, this is the last question, so we want you to nail it so we can give you some tickets, all right? Name the actor here performing either Batman or Superman.
As a kid, I used to watch you with my father. The Great Ghost was my hero.
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy! Wow. Boom! Wow. Well done. That was the bonus question. You scored.
Wow, that was impressive.
You got tickets, of course, from the Batman the Animated Series. You've got tickets to Batman v Superman, and you're entered in the grand prize drawing.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. Sure. Thanks for playing the game.
It's Superhero. Superhero Clips.
We just gave away some tickets for Batman v Superman and qualified people for the grand prize drawing, which we're going to do right now.
Really?
Yes.
What are they going to win, Kevin?
They are going to win a trip for two to three metropolis cities, including airfare, two-night stay in these cities, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, as well as $500 spending cash.
Not bad.
And they are Andrew Thompson.
They are?
They are Andrew Thompson. Andrew Thompson from Reseda. So congratulations. That is our grand prize winner. We got the Radiohead grand prize winner coming up as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. Any time of the day, any topic. We were very worried that now that The Bachelor is over, is it still raining, Ben?
Oh, good question.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Bean. Well, we got interesting things going on this week. We got a high-pressure system coming down from the Big Bear area that no one really expected. It's going to drive our chances of Ben up to 29%. Wouldn't be a bad idea to leave an umbrella in the car, though. Back to you guys.
It's raining, Ben. 20%. That's
yeah,
it.
We really need the Ben.
That's all you get. This guy, not happy.
It's not raining Ben anymore.
Yeah.
Ellie gets her share of calls, and I believe, you know, the guys are trying.
Okay.
Would this work?
Hey, Ellie. I heard your Wi-Fi fell over the weekend. I have a hotspot you can borrow inside my pants.
Wow. Actually, that would have worked last week. It would have worked.
We were doing a contest, and Ralph was doing, I forget what, Bat Boy or Man Bat or something. And then, and then Hawkeye, Hawkman, whatever that is. And you thought they were the same.
Yeah.
I don't even know which either of them is, but this guy is very upset with us.
So Ralph was just giving away Batman tickets, and Allie mistook the Man Bat scream for the Hawkman scream.
Yeah,
God, they're clearly distinctive. Yeah. Man Bat is Bat! Hawkman is... Get it together, Allie.
Yeah, I hear the distinction now. It's very clear. Thank you. Very clear.
We did a game for, I believe it was Coachella, where Allie sang Axl Rose songs.
Oh, God.
And it was beautiful. And this listener thinks we need to incorporate it more.
Allie McKay singing as Axl Rose of other bands' songs for concert giveaways.
Once I was 7 years old, my daddy told me.
How about that guy does it?
That's a great idea.
I love it.
I'm not sure who left these next, I don't know, four or five calls, but it's all text to landline. So you can text it, uh-huh. and then a computer voice will read it.
Okay.
And they're all based on Bean's tweets about daylight saving.
Okay.
He's very upset that people say daylight savings.
Right.
And that annoys him. So he tweets everybody that does it. And this is the first of many text to landline calls.
At E-Online. Yeah, it's actually named daylight saving time, not savings. Hashtag journalism.
And then?
At dead spin. Still no S on the end of daylight saving. Come correct. Thank you.
And then?
At Pandora Radio. Still time to edit your notifications and not embarrass yourself. It's daylight saving, not savings.
And then?
At Associated Press. Of all the people making this error. I am most disappointed by seeing this from you. It's saving, not savings. Get it together.
Get it together. And then?
At 6 Second Reviews. How you gonna come at me like that? Hashtag saving, not savings.
I think it's Bean.
It could be.
I think it might be him. It
very well could be. We do a parody of the Once I Was 7 Years Old. Mm-hmm. Omar did it, and yeah. It has this line in it.
Once I had a butthole.
Yeah.
So this person called.
Once I had a butthole.
Is that a child?
Yep. Yes, it is. This next call is about a story that happened in Seattle. There was a guy, he used to masturbate in public, mm-hmm. and he wore a ninja outfit.
Right.
And so that's what this call is about.
My name is Bean, outside your window. My name is Bean, I'm behind a tree. I wish that people could see me in my ninja outfit. And my name is Bean. And I'm outside your window pane. Ninja Vader.
Okay. Yep. We get it.
Yeah. I'm not entirely thrilled with the listeners being able to say hit it, Steve, because that's how we know we're supposed to play something.
Right.
So listeners call the Afro line, uh-huh. and they can say hit it, Steve, and then we have to play it?
I think that's the rule now.
Well, he's requesting an older song based on Kevining. Oh. So this is it.
Hey, you know what we haven't heard in a long time? The Kevining. Hit it, Steve.
Hey, boys and girls. Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
That's fun, isn't it?
Aww.
Good times, right?
Yeah.
We're all having fun, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, great. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Congratulations to our Radiohead Grand Prize winner, Jimmy Joe from Rancho Cucamonga.
Jimmy Joe.
Jimmy Joe.
Joe.
Jimmy Joe.
Jimmy Joe.
Jimmy Joe won the tickets to see Radiohead when they play the Shrine Auditorium. By the way, those tickets go on sale today at 10.
Jimmy Joe!
Today at 10 a.m. And he won what? Oh, I have to play that for Jimmy Joe? Okay. Oh.
Jimmy Joe! Jimmy Joe!
He also was the grand prize winner, which is a trip for two to the Secret Solstice Festival in Iceland.
Jimmy Joe!
It's a whole land made out of ice, Margaret!
He gets round-trip airfare. He gets a five-night hotel stay, 2 4-day passes to the Secret Solstice Festival on June 16th to 19th, and $500 spending cash, and he gets to see Radiohead in that show.
Jimmy Joe!
Jimmy Joe!
Jimmy Joe!
Congratulations, and thanks for listening to K-Rock. It is 7:53. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Breaking news. Very exciting. There had been rumors to this effect, but it's finally been confirmed that Amber Heard
will be playing the role of Mira in Aquaman and the Justice League movies. Right? Right?
I'm happy to see her.
This thing on?
Aquaman's dumb, though.
Oh.
Right? Who's with me?
He's just the one in the ocean. He swims around.
He's a swimmer.
Oh, just the one in the ocean?
Yeah.
Let's see. The whole planet is covered with 3/4 ocean.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So he rules 3/4 of the world.
Mm-hmm. So does he solve crime? Fish on fish crime? What's he doing?
He stops what's his evil in the ocean.
Like what?
Like what?
Bad ocean people.
Are there bad ocean people?
Of course there are. Atlantis is filled with good and bad people.
Come on.
And Amber Heard will play his love interest, eventual wife, and eventual queen of Atlantis, of course.
Huh.
Great casting. She looks just like her. It's going to be awesome. Aquaman will be directed by James Wan, who of course directed Furious 7. And it's looking at a July 27th, 2018 release. So
make a note.
Make sure you circle your calendar. July 27th, 2018 will be the release of Aquaman. And of course, Justice League Part 1 is due in theaters next year.
Now, if you know that the cycle is starting all over again now with Amber Heard, you know that, right? With Nick?
Oh. Yeah, our friend screenwriter Nick has had a crush on Amber Heard for some time now. And for a long time, he's wanted to cast her as the lead in his epic motion picture. Mm-hmm. And by epic, I mean the screenplay runs, I don't know, roughly 800, 900 pages. So he might be disappointed to know she's going to be busy making these films for the next couple of years, because he might have to push back production on his film.
Oh, that's a shame.
He's going to have to work out his production schedule.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
All right, bad choice.
It's another way to go. Nick?
Right.
I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
Okay, good.
I'm like mother f***ing Tupac.
You are.
I don't
just
feel like you're anything like Tupac.
So, although Amber will be playing Mira, I guess she won't be playing the lead in Nick's film, unless he holds production for her, which he might. And he's got to get those episodes of The Playboy Club.
That's the problem, is he's still waiting on those.
He's got to get those going, which is a lot of work. He's got his work cut out for him. Is he still holding signs, or is he giving that career up?
I don't know.
He was a sign holder. That was his
job.
That's
how we met him.
Years. Yes.
Then he didn't do it for a while, and then he started writing screenplays, mm-hmm. and then didn't finish any of those, so I don't know what he's doing. Hmm.
Maybe he can work on this movie. Amber Rose is still trying to tell the story about her relationship with Kanye West. You know, once in a while she'll send out a tweet or something that is very funny about her past with Kanye. You know, like, finger in the booty ass bitch.
Sure.
Which is my favorite hashtag of all time on Twitter.
And it does send him into a tailspin.
Yes, and he loses his mind every time she says something. They broke up back in 2010, but she claims she has so much dirt on Kanye that she's actually been shopping her story to publishers and or movie companies. Now, Kris Jenner, pimp of the Kardashian family, says that she's not happy with this and she would not like these stories to be made public, so there is rumors that they're trying to broker some deal where Kris Jenner will pay her some money just to be quiet and go away. The number $10 million has been bandied about.
So I want somebody to pay me $10 million to be quiet and go away. I'll do it.
Well, you have to know stuff first.
Oh, so I'm out.
Can't just be quiet just to be quiet. You have
bummer.
To be quiet about something. Do you have any dirt on anybody? You got anything? Anything good?
No.
Well,
then you're no good to us.
All right.
Sorry, Kevin.
The Passion premieres this Sunday. Don't forget about The Passion. Don't forget The Passion.
The Passion.
The big musical on Fox about Jesus' last days.
Jesus.
Yeah. Adam Anders, producer of Glee, he is also involved with The Passion on Fox. The basic premise is Tyler Perry will narrate the story of Jesus, and then singers will come in and sing contemporary pop songs to provide some musical examples of feelings going on.
You're
in
saying
story.
A lot of words.
Are you making this up?
No, you didn't know about this?
No.
None
this
of these
is
happening.
No.
None of these words appeal to me in any way.
Then Jesus will carry a giant lit cross through downtown New Orleans and get crucified.
What are you talking
you
about?
You heard
is this
me?
In the news?
Yes, this is in the news.
It sounds racist.
It's not racist at all. Adam Andrews says, to call it a musical is maybe not the best fit. It's more of a beautiful event that has never been done before. Oh, shut up.
What?
Jeez.
Come on!
All I care about is Chris Daughtry as Judas. That's all I care about. Boom! There's your Judas.
Is it live?
Yes!
Is it on TV?
The Passion Live, Allie.
Really?
Fox, Sunday night.
It's on television?
This Sunday.
Yes!
Huh. In New Orleans. Taking place in New Orleans.
That's where he's going to get crucified.
Why?
So people can throw beads at him? I don't know. I didn't read the book.
Didn't happen in the book.
Yeah, didn't they throw beads at Jesus?
I don't think that's part of the story.
Off. He had his shirt off. Isn't that how it works?
Really?
Why would I make this up?
I don't know. All you need to know is
it's a beautiful event that has never been done before.
Okay.
You know why? It's a terrible idea.
And speaking of flashing, this sounds like a lawsuit in the offing. Madonna used to flash her own breasts on stage, but now that she's a veteran performer, she's taking off other people's clothes. Last night in Brisbane, Australia, Madonna brought a woman up on stage and said she's just the kind of girl you want to slap on the ass, she said about the woman. And pull, she said, before reaching over and pulling the woman's crop top down, exposing her breasts. Madonna then pretended to be horrified and apologized, saying the woman could take Madonna's pants down if she wanted to. The woman declined the offer.
What is happening
with her?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But don't you think if you bring a woman on stage and then you pull her shirt down and expose her breast to the audience that maybe you're going to get a call from somebody's lawyer at some point?
That makes me think maybe it's a setup.
Oh, perhaps.
Because she would know that.
Perhaps it's, unless she was glug, 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 glug,
just put you in jail you want, mate. With your dog.
Look at my dingo.
I think it's a didgeridoo.
Oh, yeah. And my two boomerangs.
I think Madonna's spinning out of control.
I do too, and I'm loving it. Couldn't happen fast enough for me. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these people were born on today, the 18th of...
You looking for the paper?
I got it. The 18th of March. Mike Rose, 54 years old today. Jerry Cantrell, guitarist for Alice in Chains, is 50. Dane Cook turns 44. Lily Collins celebrates her 27th birthday. Maroon 5 singer Adam Levine is 37. And Queen Latifah is 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Usually when it comes to TV shows, you can have important topics
mm-hmm.
and you can have funny.
But you can't have them together.
It's one or the other. There is one show, however, called The Carmichael Show. And Gerard Carmichael is on the line with us. Hi, Gerard.
What's happening? What's going on? Wait, you can't have them together?
No, you can't unless you are The Carmichael Show.
Unless you're you.
God bless you. God bless you. I got nervous for it.
Right? We're like in one such show that can't bring them together? No.
No, I mean, it's...
I was going to run to my office and say, you guys have got to change the format.
No, but you talk about guns and you talk about racism and you talk about, you know, people cheating on each other. Tell people sort of quickly, tell people your theory on who cheats and who doesn't cheat on their spouses.
Oh,
it has to do with the pay scale, right?
Yeah, it's pure pay.
Yeah, that have been on the show about you cheat based on income, you know. And so, you know, guys who makes under 50 grand a year don't usually cheat 50 to 100. Think about it, but don't act on it. You know, 100 to half a mil. Probably cheating, and then anything over half a mil means his wife knows his mistress by name. So,
I hate that you're right. Really, let's be honest.
More than likely.
Right.
More than likely.
Now, Gerard, Sunday night at 9 p.m., is this the time? Because it sort of seemed like last season they put you on two at a time in a couple of weeks, and it just felt like they weren't really giving you a fair shot, and your show is so good.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it was network trying something new, and you know, me being a newer voice, and it was a strategy to kind of, you know, put us on the air, you know, at a time when the stakes weren't too high.
Right.
You know, but But you know, I think it worked actually to our advantage. We were able to fly kind of away from the ire of the network and studio scrutiny, that type of thing that happens when you premiere in the fall. So we were able to kind of just be on an island and do our show and do what we wanted. So it worked out great.
Now this is season two. Is it more difficult now that how many episodes do you have? 13?
13, yeah.
Is it more difficult as far as now people know the Carmichael Show and now a lot of people are interested in giving you some notes?
No. I mean, well, you know, we already did, we kind of established this identity. So now it's like, oh, you can't say we can't do that now. We did it already.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it works great. And you know, the network now has been, like, really great partners in it. And you know, we're excited about, like, furthering the voice. But it's fun to just, you know, while we talk about these things, it's all because it's like, you know, you talked about all the topics, but it's because we talk about those things, you know,
yeah.
Like in our everyday conversations. It's such a, it's so important to me to reflect honest conversation, reflect everyday conversation that the public is really having. And it's important to me to treat the audience like adults.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to watch, you know, television and, you know, have people talk down to you and pretend that, you know, these situations don't happen and these conversations don't happen.
That's the thing, too, is A, you're never preaching, but there are so many different characters on the show that can take all the different views that if you feel one way, you're going to be like, oh, I totally relate to his dad, or, oh, yeah, I'm totally into what Cynthia's saying. Everybody kind of has their own voice, and it's so much like the landscape of America. Everybody is represented on your show.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah, we're not preaching, we're arguing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? So it's like, you know, you can't preach to other preachers.
Right.
You know, so if everyone has, you know, a point of view and everyone's at their respective pulpit, then you could preach if you wanted to, but they're going to give you a sermon right back.
I got to tell you, when you were talking about the funeral for your grandpa and everybody was saying nice things and you were like, hey, am I the only person that remembered that he was a deadbeat? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where that is not handled in especially a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens, though, in real life. Have you ever gone to a funeral of someone and you heard, you know, people stand up and talk about what a wonderful, caring person they were, and you're like, wait, this guy?
Right. Looking around,
are
like,
we
you
talking about the
you
same
remember
person?
Him, right?
Yeah, it's like, you remember? It's like, I'm only here because he owes me $300.
Now, what can we look forward to this season? Like, what is Sunday night at 9 on NBC?
Sunday night at 9, we have an episode called Perfect Storm, where me and my girlfriend rush out to get a Plan B pill in the middle of a storm, and we get sidetracked and somehow end up in our parents' basement.
Okay,
like you do.
Like you do. Right.
Like the storm of the storm of the century. We couldn't make it to the drugstore in time, and we get sidetracked with a very nosy family. I was trying to figure out like I was like, what's the worst conversation I want to have with my family in the middle of a storm? And as it turns out,
you had it.
What kind of response are you getting from people? Because there are times, like you did the show about Bill Cosby, you know, when you're talking about a funeral. Do people get upset that you're voicing that angle, or are they okay with it?
Sure. Yeah, of course. People get, they feel kind of strongly in one direction or another, but we welcome that. I get really excited. I don't think that receiving content should be mindless, you know, for whatever I receive, the shows I watch, the music I listen to, I like for it to challenge me in some kind of way. I like to, you know, be awake when listening to things. So when people feel strongly, then I just know that they're awake. So I'm really excited. They're awake the way I'm pretending to be at this hour.
Well, you're pulling it off. Again, you're an actor. But as the executive producer, writer, and acting on the show, are you finding any time to still go out and do stand-up?
I squeeze it in whenever I can. You know, I like to spend weekend. Like, I'm kind of writing every weekend, and I kind of poke my head out to go do a set, maybe at like the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store or the Improv or something. So I try and go out and do sets as much as I can. So maybe this weekend, and a lot of it's based on my stand up. So a lot of times I'll write something and I'll run on stage, kind of work out the thought, because it's kind of like a therapeutic outlet for me. So I'll work out a thought and then I'll run back to my home and write it down and then watch David Alan Greer do a better version.
Do you ever look across that set and you're like, David Alan Greer is my dad and Loretta Devine is my mom. This is the best job in the world.
It's beautiful. It's people that I genuinely grew up admiring and being excited by. And you know, two amazing actors. But I kind of look in awe at my entire cast. I look in awe at, you know, Amber Stevens, and I look in awe at you know, Tiffany Haddish and Rhea Howery. They're all really, you know, fantastic actors that I'm excited to work with every day.
Well, we watched the first six episodes. We're very excited about season two. And I got to tell you, it is one of our favorite TV shows, and we don't necessarily say that to everybody, but it's true of pretty much everybody on the show.
We don't say that to everybody. We barely say that.
Right.
So we mean it. That's what we're saying.
That means even more.
Yep.
It's called the Carmichael Show, and it is on 9 p.m. Sunday night on NBC, and watch it, and you will love it. Thank you for your time, Jared. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You guys have a great morning.
You too. Thank you. Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016. April 2nd at the Shrine, featuring Bob Saget, Eddie Ift, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and Wheeler Walker Jr. Pretty good lineup.
And maybe you.
You could be the opening act for those people. So for the rest of your life, you could say you open for any or all of them if you'd like. So we're taking submissions, but only through 10 a.m. today. So you got about another hour and a half to submit 2 minutes of you doing stand-up. And I've got some examples of some of the people that have sent them in. This is Brian Whitaker talking about what it's like to be poor in America.
Level of broke that I can relate to is like you see, back in high school, I lived in this mostly Mexican neighborhood called America. Yeah. So when friends and I would go grab a bite to eat, we would usually go out to Mexican, you know, restaurants. And my favorite part of the meal there was always when they'd bring the free chips and salsa, because that was my meal.
Yeah. So that's Doug. Brian, I'm sorry. This is Hormuz Rashidi. And he's trying to figure out how to get more Twitter followers.
But is it up to consider joining ISIS just for the Twitter followers? Because I have 950. And Abu Masef al-Bahami has 300,000. And I'm way funnier than he is. But he kills.
Get it?
See, because this is Joel Schoenbach, and he's doing a bit of comedy about the other person that has the exact same name.
According to Google, there's actually two people named Joel Schoenbach. One of them's myself, and the other's this guy in Texas who stole my identity. He's actually improving my credit, though. He tracked me down and confronted me and told me to get my act together and pay my bills on time.
That's pretty good, right?
That's good.
I love it. This is Julio Gonzalez, and he's trying to figure out a way to drive in the carpool lane.
Mm-hmm. I fold down the TV and I put on Cars 2. I'm Finding Nemo, any Disney cartoon, that way the cop thinks I got a kid in the back, right? This cop didn't think. I was scared as hell because he pulled me over. I'm standing there. He's shining his light at an empty car seat. He tapped on the window. I rolled it down. He said, "Where's your passenger?" And I said, "Oh."
This is Kat Radley, and she's talking about what it's like for other girls that are maybe her same age and bragging about their lives.
My best friend who's married called to tell me that she and her husband bought a house. And I was like, "Oh my God, congratulations." And she was like, "Thanks. How are you doing?" great, okay? It just so happens that I recently borrowed $100 from my dad to join eHarmony, so things are going equally well. Thank you, Namaste.
And the final example that we have is Robert Edma.
He says things like, you know, I like my coffee like I like my ladies. And I'm like, well, if your coffee's like your girlfriend, Larry's had some. So
opening act, you go to kevinandbean.com, you click on the link, you fill out the information, you put up 2 minutes of video. You only have about an hour and a half to do it. The deadline is at 10 a.m. and then you can open Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. I'd just like to start off by saying I don't drink. So I'm sure. Offended by this very existence of the alcohol in the studio because I don't drink.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to start by saying that.
Okay. I remember coming in the studio super hungover many a times and drinking with you, sir.
That's Super Steve in the studio with us, lying.
I don't know. I believe him.
Yeah, I do too. Super Steve is here. Lightning is here. You guys have an event at Santa Anita. Now, what are the drinks that you brought? And when do we start?
So, first off, let's back up. This is called Michelada Rumble. It's the second one that Super Steve... This is his idea, by the way. I'm hopping on the gravy train there.
Okay.
So, he did one at Santa Anita, the Michelada Rumble. One, and they had a couple thousand people show up. And it was Micheladas.
Let's back up.
Yep.
What are Micheladas?
Micheladas is a... if you can think of a Bloody Mary, but with beer. So, a bloody beer sort of type. So
okay.
It's a tomato juice-based with lemon, salt, beer, and then whatever you can put in it. I mean, guys go from like shrimp to seafood. As you can see, I mean, you can see it. I have a one here that has I like more of the savory type of michelada. So I have tacos.
I
have a taco on it.
What?
I got chicken strip, chicharrones. I also have some poppers, and just round it all about, you know.
So for those of you that are, of course, listening.
I didn't know poppers were going to be a part of my day.
He's got skewers that go into this drink right here. And there are carrots and jack-in-the-box tacos and pickles and everything else going into the drink. And, of course, you'll dip those into the drink.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, so you're having a competition, or how does this work exactly?
Yeah.
There's a competition. There's 30 different Michelada companies that make their own mix that will be there. The last company that won was Michi Mix One. Just want to say that. You know, they won the last Michelada Rumble. Uh-huh. So they'll be there defending their title. There's lowriders. There's going to be live horse racing. There's going to be lucha libre, Mexican wrestling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's all kinds. It's not just... Micheladas, it's like a cultural event, man.
Is Lightning going to be there going, somebody has to eat grass?
Yeah.
I need somebody to eat grass.
He actually said that I couldn't do this. So we're going to save that for the microbrew in a couple of weeks. But so there are judges, and the judges will actually sample all 25 whatever Micheladas.
Who are the judges?
The judges.
And why wasn't I asked?
The judges.
You don't drink.
You just said you didn't drink.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The judges vary from, like, people that are on TV to the Triad Cholos. Have you seen them on Facebook? Those guys are going to be out there.
Okay, all right.
So it just varies on the people.
So, I mean, it's a lot going on that day. You know, of course, the Michelada is the centerpiece of the day. And most people who are coming out either familiar or they've heard, you know, kind of the hype on the Michelada. And this is the best place. Just like a microbrew where you're sampling 25-plus beers, you got all the Micheladas out there. And it's so everyone's basically going to start with a Modelo, and they're a proud sponsor. And then you're going to add all these mixes as you travel around this, you know, kind of circus-like area.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's
walk
a circus-like area.
Definitely. Well,
and we're going to try a bunch of different Micheladas.
Yeah.
And at what point does the rumble kick in?
Well, it depends. I mean, we have all kinds of stuff going on. We have live music. We have the wrestling itself. And then the rumble actually takes place starting at 1. So all these companies will start bringing their Micheladas to the judges, and that's the actual rumble part.
Okay.
The rumble is just who's got the best Michelada.
Oh, they're not fighting?
I mean, I suppose
if something could break out. Something.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
I mean,
it's figurative, right?
Yeah.
No.
So we brought a couple in here for you.
So
Steve, let's see here. Which one is the...
We're putting this on our Facebook page?
Yeah, this is live right now. We are live on Facebook right now. Cody's holding the camera over here.
That's a choice.
Right, so,
and apparently there's no audio. That's a problem.
All right. Well, now there's audio. He just pulled the cable out of the bottom.
Okay. Is there audio now, Facebook people?
All right. So listen, the one that we just gave, Super Steve is on the other side of the control board here, giving this the crazy one to Kevin. This is the one with the taco and the chicken. What else is it having? It's got all kind of weird stuff.
I can't identify about half of this.
Is that a beef stick?
It's like carrot. It's a beef stick.
It looks like chicken nuggets.
Is that a chicken nugget? Chicken nuggets.
No, those are jalapeno poppers.
Oh,
okay.
Mexican theme.
All right. So do I just drink it with a straw? Who drinks it with a straw?
Oh, yeah, just go for it.
Just take a sip.
Lick the rim. Lick the rim.
Lick the rim.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Here. Took a turn.
Don't be afraid.
How does that taste?
I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Pretty good. Because when you described it, you said beer, and I was like, oh, no. That sounds terrible. This is pretty good.
Yeah. Now we've got one with a little bit of a kick. Let me walk this one around to you.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Now, this one has a pepper. What kind of pepper is this, Steve?
It's a pepper. A hot pepper. Thank you, Steve.
Now try it. Just sip. This is dangerous.
It's dangerous because it's too hot?
This is hot. Someone needs to drink this, wouldn't you suggest?
Yeah. Hold on. Hey, Muggs, come in here.
Yes.
Muggs is dressed up because he's going to a funeral today.
He's going to a wedding.
Same. What's the difference?
You are off.
What's happening? Were you listening?
No, what's going on?
Oh, yes.
He wasn't listening.
This is a Michelada.
It's a Michelada. Just down it. Drink the whole thing. It's really good.
Whoa. Hold on.
No, it's really good.
No, wait.
I just tried it, Muggs.
There's alcohol in it, right?
A little bit.
Well,
just a little bit, though.
I got to go on a plane in about a couple hours going to a wedding.
Do a blood test.
No one ever drinks on a plane.
They don't give you a breathalyzer before you get on the plane.
What kind of pepper is this?
A mild
one. A hot one. Thanks, Steve.
What's wrong with you?
Steve, what is in this one? What did you put in this other than Modelo?
Drink it. It's good, Muggs.
Tell
him after. Just
should I do it?
Down it. The whole thing.
Shoot it. I can't down it.
Shoot it.
Chug, chug, chug.
What is...
There's a trash can.
That's hot.
Just in case. No, keep going.
Do you want me to die?
Yes.
Die.
Do it.
Come on, do it.
Why are you rubbing his stomach?
What's happening?
Oh, this guy real creepy.
All right, so while Muggs dies,
Cody, you don't have to hit me in the face.
So while Muggs is dying, let's give you the information. Santa Anita Racetrack.
Yes, it starts tomorrow. Gates open at 11 a.m. I believe, Steve, the tickets are $15 to get in. We have already sold 4,000 tickets pre-sale, so it's going to be a party.
You must enter at gate 6 and park in the infield parking lot. It's free.
Yeah.
There you go. And everybody from K-Rock's going to be out there. You guys are going to have a lot of Micheladas, and you're going to be drinking them all?
I think I'm buzzed already.
What a surprise. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52. We have some tickets for you to see Weezer.
Yeah, we do.
Weezer.
I don't know why my voice went that high. Weezer is going to be playing the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
What?
So we've got your tickets coming up just after the top of the hour. We're going to make you work for them. You have to know Weezer's music.
I know, right?
I miss Lightning's voice in the radio. It's great. I haven't heard that kind of treble in some time.
I thought he was going to try and sell us a car and or car insurance.
I have a friend since I was 3 who sells cars.
He's a real friend. A lot of people say friend.
The word friend gets bandied about quite a bit these days. But friend only has one meaning. Cars.
That is classic.
Right? I know.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Here's me. Sometimes you look at people in show business and you go, what are they bitching about? Right?
Yeah.
Complaints. It's hard. It's this. It's that. Oh, my life is on my own. Paparazzi, tabloids. I get all that. I get it. It's hard out there for a pimp. But
stop it?
No. I mean, it's easy to say that because, look, you obviously live in a rarefied atmosphere and you get the money and you get the glamour and you get the cool job and it's fun doing what they do for a living. I've dabbled, and I know it's hard work, but it's also fun work.
Okay.
So sometimes you feel like saying, I'll pipe down. And then you read a story like this, and you go, maybe they got a legitimate bitch. This is really sad.
All right.
Olivia Wilde, 28 years old. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more lovely.
Agreed.
Couldn't be more talented.
Agreed.
I've enjoyed her forever, since House. And the OC before that. And then, of course, she's gone into a huge film career, and now she's currently on vinyl on HBO. This story is disheartening. She auditioned to play the role of Leo DiCaprio's wife in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
That role went to
Margot Robbie.
Yeah. And so, Leonardo DiCaprio was 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She went in. 28-year-old Olivia Wilde went in for the audition. And she was told, thanks, but no thanks.
You're simply too sophisticated for the role. She left the audition saying, well, that was nice.
Nope.
She said in an interview, I like that feedback. I didn't get the part, but I'm a very sophisticated person. Then she found out the real story when her agents came to her and said, yeah, they thought you were too old to play Leonardo DiCaprio's wife. She's 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio's 37.
Yeah.
And she's too old to play his wife?
Yeah.
If you're 28 and you're trying to make a career for yourself in show business and already they're coming at you with you're too old, that is a kick right to the culottes, right?
I think. I'm not sure.
It is. Trust me.
Plus, she's beautiful. She's talented.
She could not be more of any of those things you just said. And to be put aside because she's 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not allowed to age as a woman ever, really.
Well, that's what
not
we recommend.
Hollywood.
That's what we recommend.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be harder to do than it is to say. So, I just wanted to make a point of saying, all right, you got us there, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's a legit bitch right there. Blake Shelton, meanwhile, he's suing In Touch magazine for a bunch of what he calls big fat lies. Lots of items were published in that magazine, he claims, that were just plain false.
Is this over
have nearly ruined his career.
Amount of time? Is this over a couple of years or more?
I have no idea the span of time.
Exactly what month
for the magazine to publish these stories, Kevin. But thanks for picking up being slack while he's gone. For asking questions that are not only irrelevant to the story, but also impossible to answer.
You're welcome.
But let me see if I have the in-touch timetable here. I can tell you exactly when the stories were published.
Excellent. I need more information.
Was it the same author of each story? Or
just different? Trying to stay current.
Here's what Blake says in his lawsuit that they said about him that wasn't true. He's never been to rehab or hit rock bottom due to alcohol. Due to alcohol. But what about all the blow, Blake? Right? Right? All that blow he does?
That's alleged.
Oh, that's right. Does not drink excessively, he claims. Despite stories to the contrary in In Touch magazine. He doesn't binge drink or have a drinking problem. You know, drinking problem is a flexible term. I can say that, too. I don't have a drinking problem. He does not suck down vodka before 11 a.m., he says.
Does he specify what time zone?
Or ooh, what booze? Maybe bourbon is the pre-11 a.m. drink, right? And then vodka is like lunch. Vodka's
right.
A lunchtime cocktail.
That's alleged.
He says he doesn't slur his words or stumble after he's tossed back a few. Kevin always says that, too. It's adorable. And most importantly, he's never urinated on a mailbox. Right? How many times have we all been accused of that?
I feel like he should lead with that.
It's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
That's a weird
good
story.
Good on In Touch, by the way, for coming up with a very creative story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that gets your attention if you read that. He also says he's never been caught with a bunch of naked women in his home in Tennessee by ex-wife Miranda Lambert.
Some were wearing undies.
Yeah.
And see?
And merkins.
Oh.
So,
Google that, kids.
Yeah. You'll get a hearty chuckle once that answer comes up. And, he says the story's nearly ruined his career and he's going to get payback. So, good on you.
I enjoy him.
Blake Shelton. I do, too. I don't know if you're watching The Voice, but he's really charming on that show.
I've
never been a country guy myself. You know, I don't like the country music, but he's great on that show. And he and Adam Levine seem to have quite the bromance brewing there. And you got Xtina.
Christina.
Yeah.
Xtina. Come on. All the kids are saying it.
Right.
Anyway, it's good stuff. Nicolas Cage has a new feature film that I'm very interested in.
Really?
Yes. He plays a businessman from Philadelphia whose deadbeat brother is kidnapped for a large ransom. Nick plays a mobster in Philadelphia and the alleged kidnapper in the film. The film is called Philly Fury, which I resent because that was going to be the name of my autobiography. But sadly, now it's being used in this movie.
That sounds terrible.
Philly Fury!
Yeah.
He's a mobster who kidnaps a well-off guy's deadbeat brother.
Wait, is it still Nicolas Cage?
Yes!
Okay. Why would you care if your deadbeat brother was kidnapped?
Because he's still your brother, Allie.
So what? He's a deadbeat. You kidnap the one that's worth the money.
No,
because
who's going to pay
the money
the ransom?
The kidnapping.
The deadbeat has no money to pay the ransom.
That's why I don't.
You're the worst kidnapper ever.
I don't think she's a kidnapper.
Great point, though.
She makes no sense.
Yeah, that
you
makes more sense.
You kidnap the rich, dude.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Now that I mulled that over.
What's he going to give you, a cheesesteak in exchange for his brother?
Would it be from Jim's South Street?
Yeah, Philly's Best.
Right?
Oh, boy. I need me a Philly's Best.
Turn him right around. Nicely right? done.
That's Thank
my
you.
John.
That's going to be terrible, no, Ralph.
It's going to be awesome.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Playing a gangster.
Yes.
Really?
I kidnapped your brother. I think he'd pay me a lot of money. Or else I'm going to chop him up. Make cheesesteaks out of him.
That's not good.
Whiz wit. That's my John.
Come on!
I'm in
greatest
now.
Greatest movie ever, Philly Fury. Philly Fury. I have to be in this. Who's making this? Is it the same people making 9/11? I need to know.
I hope.
Oh, 9/11, Philly Fury. We're living in a golden age of motion picture production.
Yes, we are.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lily Collins is 27 years old today. Adam Levine turns 37, Maroon 5 singer. What should we do for Adam Levine, though? I don't know.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
All right, we'll give some love to Maroon 5, then, for his birthday.
That guy's bad. That announcer.
Oh, the announcer. Yeah, yeah, sure. I bet you met Adam Levine there. Yeah. Dane Cook's 44. Jerry Cantrell is 50. TV host Mike Rowe is 54 years old. And Queen Latifah is 46. How do we say hello to Queen Latifah?
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
We all hail her. Oh, you two are the worst.
Right?
Yes. That's why I said it, because it's right.
We're all just people.
That is true. You got me there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the it's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:06. K-Rock is proud to bring you Weezer at the Red Bull Sound Space.
Yeah.
They're coming this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you can win tickets right now, but you're going to have to identify Weezer songs as done by Dave the King of Mexico on a kazoo. This is Kazoo and You.
It's Kazoo and You. Just guess the tune we play for you. It's Kazoo and You, because we love kazoos and you do too. It's Kazoo and you win some ticks, not one but two. It's Kazoo and You. Come on, let's play Kazoo and You.
I got to be honest, the last time we did this, we spent about 10 minutes with Dave just blowing into the...
Oh,
I yeah. sucked last time.
He didn't realize that you actually have to hum?
Have to hum. It's no, a kazoo.
He was like, oh, yeah, it's easy to say that, but once you get it in your mouth, it's hard.
Oh.
Wait, wow. All right, let's start with Jessica in North Hollywood. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
All right, are you ready to identify a Weezer song as done very poorly by Dave the King of Mexico and his kazoo?
It's easy.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Okay, all right. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's good.
That's
Jessica?
Awesome.
Is that Beverly Hills?
No. Sorry, that was Islands in the Sun. All right, so that wasn't good. But you
she
get,
wasn't good.
You can get better, though, right?
I was awesome. I was spot on.
Robert and El Segundo, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to Kazoo and You. Good luck.
Robert, you got the first one, right?
No.
Just play the song.
Good luck.
Okay.
Okay. That's not bad.
Thank you.
Okay.
Robert?
Robert?
Say It Ain't So.
No. Oh!
Sorry, that was... What, Dave? Is something wrong with the microphone?
No, I say, should I play loud? Time out. Should I keep playing in front of the mic, or is it too hot?
It's a little too hot.
Okay, cool.
I'm turning you down if that's what you're asking. Okay.
All right, time in.
Let's go to Gabriel in West Covina.
What's up, guys?
Hold on, Gabriel. You know there's no time out, right? Or
yes,
time
there
in?
Is time out.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
once
still
I
on the mic.
Out,
we hear you.
Okay. Once I say time out, everyone will stop listening for
me. I see. Okay.
Okay.
Gabriel, good luck. Kazoo and You. Here's Dave, the King of Mexico, with a Weezer song.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
The sweater song.
Yes!
The sweater song! Close enough. I'm done. The sweater song. All right. You hold on. Let's go to your lucky. Let's go to Omar in Bellflower. Dave, you're,
how's it going, guys?
You're picking the key, right? You don't have to pick them so high. You cannot reach any of the high notes.
I'm making it exactly like the song.
All right, Omar, all right. We have one person that's in the drawing so far. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Here we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Omar.
That's hash pipe.
That is hash pipe.
Nicely done. All right, we have two winners now. Let's go to Jose. Not winners, I'm sorry. They're going into the drawing. We're going to have a drawing for one winner at the end. Jose in Montebello. Hello.
Montebello.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go, Jose.
How's it going, man?
All right, here we go.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's enough. I feel like that's enough. Right. Jose?
Is that Buddy Holly?
That is Buddy Holly, yeah. All right, let's go to Tony Lynn in Long Beach. Hi, Tony Lynn.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Kazoo and You. This is for tickets to see Weezer at the Red Bull Sound Space, which, by the way, holds, I don't know, 90 people, 100 people, very small venue. Dave's awesome. Going to play a song now on a kazoo, and you're going to have to identify it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Tony Lynn?
I'm going to guess Pork and Beans.
I am
that?
A kazoo god.
There's no such thing, actually. Do we do one more? Can we take
yes,
it?
I one say more. One more.
One more?
Mm-hmm.
Why do one?
Why do one? We get one too many. All right, Tony in San Fernando. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
What's up is Kazoo and You. Here's Dave the King of Mexico
right.
With a Weezer song. Good luck.
Oh, it's not great.
All right.
Can I try a new song?
You'd like to trade that.
Nope.
That was easy.
Think of a Weezer song that hasn't been said yet, maybe.
Let's go with Keep Fishing.
Say It Ain't So.
Exactly the same.
That sounded nothing like the song.
I didn't think so.
My
should we do one more?
Point.
Do one more?
Why not?
Because this is terrible.
One more.
Jessica in Long Beach, hi.
Hello? Yes.
We don't like to go out on a loser, so help us out here.
Yes.
All right.
Here we go.
Here's Dave.
All right.
With a Weezer song.
Thank God for Girls.
Yeah!
Oh!
Wow.
Look at Dave all proud. That was all Jessica.
Jessica, you saved us from like 30 seconds of that. Good work. All right, we got Gabriel, we got Jose, we got Tony Lynn, we got Jessica. Omar hung up.
Come on, Omar.
So I don't know what to do about that, but let's do the grand prize drawing from everybody else. They will get to see Weezer at the Red Bull Sound Space next Tuesday.
The winner is Tony Lynn.
Tony Lynn!
Oh, my
gosh. Congratulations.
What?
Thank you so much.
Enjoy Weezer, and thank you for playing the game.
Kazoo and You.
Kazoo! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:35.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not sure what that means.
I'm just agreeing.
Okay.
So much 9:35. Well, 9:36 now.
Ralph is here with a final look at the Showbiz Beat.
Don't forget, Fridays are new music days. Mm-hmm. So here's what you can get. Gwen Stefani. How about her new album? This Is What the Truth Feels Like. Yeah, it does. Right?
Sure.
That's some truth you want to feel right there.
Oh, dear.
Sure.
Iggy Pop.
Yeah. It's his duet album, right?
With Josh. Homme.
Okay. I'm excited.
From Queens. Iggy saying this is more than likely his final album. So if you're a fan of the legendary icon Iggy Pop, you're going to want to pick this up. It's called Post-Pop Depression. You need some help, I think. Drinking Flowers, New World Order is their new album. Jordan Smith, Something Beautiful. Primal Scream, Chaosmosis. That's a bitchin' title, by the way.
Yay!
Underworld, Barbara, Barbara, We Face a Shining Future. That's not a bitchin' title.
Are you just putting words together?
That is the name of an album.
Well, who's the band?
Underworld.
Oh.
What part of Underworld didn't you understand when I said Underworld?
Like you said 10 words together and none of it flowed.
We're not listening.
I wasn't listening.
I'm done with you. I'm so done with you. Hey, let me give you something.
Okay.
Good. Not you.
Oh.
The nice people listening. Because they put up with our shenanigans.
Which is always fascinating to me, and thank you, everyone, because seriously. I mean, really.
They should be rewarded.
It's a bad choice.
If your radio was broken and only got one station in the morning.
You'd throw that radio out.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you choose to listen to us, you're really going above and beyond Call of Duty.
We feel like you're damaged, but we're happy
that
you're damaged.
Look, someone's going to serve the damaged.
Right.
That's our job. That should be our new tagline.
Somebody's
Kevin Bean Show, serving the damaged. That's metal. Paley Fest. We love Paley Fest. It's a great time of the year where the good folks at the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they get together and they tribute television shows. They put together a series of evenings where the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows gather together and invite you, the fan, to come and check them out. It's a pretty cool event, and it's going on now through the 20th of March, so this Sunday at the Dolby Theater. We've been giving tickets away all week to some of your favorite shows. Great lineup this year. They've been doing the Big Bang Theory and Supergirl, Empire. March 19th, they're going to take a look at American Horror Story Hotel.
Yay!
Oh, the kids love a good American Horror Story, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
Kids love Gaga. If you'd like to check out an evening with the American Horror Story.
Yay!
Okay, kids, settle down.
Can't stop.
No more sugar for those kids.
So pumped.
If you'd like to check it out, the cast and creative team behind that show will be spending an evening with you on March the 19th. Give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through at that phone number gets a pair of tickets to attend the Paley Fest's evening with American Horror Story Hotel. Gotta stop saying the title of that show. For more details and to get your own tickets, you can go to paleycenter.org. Paleycenter.org. And Kevin, we talked about this before, but Paley, of course, named after William S. Paley, who, of course, was the...
A paleontologist.
He wasn't a paleontologist.
His dad was, though. His father was.
His father was not.
His grandfather.
He was the man back in the 1920s who started...
Ford Motor Company.
The CBS Network.
CBS Network. That's what I meant.
He started off with the prize jewel in his crown was always CBS Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he started back in the 20s.
What happened there?
That ended. That mentality has since changed, and CBS Radio is no longer thought of as a prized possession more than it is something to try to get rid of at a yard sale.
When did that change?
I don't know, but...
It's straight damaged goods.
So sad.
If you'd like to buy us, apparently we're up for sale, so...
We're the anchor of this company.
Which is good. Sometimes you need an anchor.
Right.
Look, when you're at sea and the storm comes up and you're caught unawares, you got to drop anchor because you don't want your dinghy to be bashed about in the waves.
But if you drop anchor, you're going to be bashed about in the waves.
No,
so
you drop
good.
Anchor so you're steady and safe and secure, and then you weather out the storm. And then when the storm passes, you pull up anchor and you sail on to greener islands.
So that way, we're good.
Greener islands. Oh, dear.
Just saying.
Right.
Hey, Kanye West has a Pablo pop-up shop today in New York. He'll be selling merchandise related to his album, The Life of Pablo, through Sunday at the store at 83 Worcester Street in Manhattan. So you can check that out.
Who gives a damn?
You can get a Life of Pablo cap for $40. And a hoodie that says, I feel like Pablo, for $90. So
just a $90 hoodie?
Bargains galore there at the Pablo pop-up shop.
How much I dress myself for a month for $90.
Maybe that's
not a good thing.
You too. How much for the fingers in the booty ass bitch t-shirt? That's what I want to know. Why I want that shirt? I'll pay $90 for a hashtag fingers in the booty ass bitch hoodie.
I'm guessing he's not selling those, though.
Is that at Amber Rose's pop-up store?
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah. The lovely Amber Rose, who's behind that great hashtag, my favorite hashtag of all time, is apparently still has yet to tell us all she knows about Kanye West. You'd think after the booty in the finger ass bitch revelation, maybe that's all.
That would be the,
that would be the
grand finale.
The deepest, darkest secret. But no, there's many more. And Amber is reportedly shopping her story about her relationship with Kanye West to publishers and movie companies. That would be a fascinating read, I think. Imagine being in a relationship with that nutloaf.
No kidding.
This apparently not going over very well with the Kardashian clan, as you can imagine. Insiders say Kim and, more importantly, her pimp Kris Jenner are trying to pony up some cash to give Amber Rose to buy off her silence. Word is Amber's looking for a $10 million deal from publishers and movie companies for her story, so they'd have to at least match that, if not beat it, if they want her to go away and be quiet.
I feel like she deserves that much money just for being with Kanye for a while.
That really right? should be some sort of payout.
Right.
Some sort of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Pay. Sad news. Larry Drake has passed away. Very talented character actor. Best known for playing the mentally disabled office clerk Benny on L.A. Law. Remember L.A. Law?
Yeah.
Remember Benny? The big hulking,
big hulking
man-child who was hired there at the office.
Arnie, I need to go get some more coffee for the conference room.
And Darkman,
by the way,
too.
That was a freaking spot-on Benny.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Congratulations.
The four people who remember L.A. Law right now are just applauding wherever they are. They're standing.
Standing
O.
Arnie, I don't want to go do that. I'm scared of it.
It's real good, Ralph.
Thanks. Yeah. He was also the bad guy in Darkman. Remember Darkman with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
He was Durant in that film. Terrifying. So he was Dr. Giggles. Remember Dr. Giggles?
Oh, Dr. Giggles, sure.
Who, of course, Kevin was a...
comedian?
Nope, he was an evil
played
dentist.
At Flappers?
He was an evil dentist.
An evil dentist, right.
Played at Flappers. Anyway, Larry won two Emmy Awards for his work as Benny on L.A. Law. He passed away yesterday in Los Angeles, just at the age of 66. No cause of death has been announced, but Larry was discovered by a friend at his home. Paramedics were called, but he was already passed by the time they found him. That's just my biggest fear, is to go that way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Just because no one around you?
Just old and lonely, and then just my body's just laying there for days. Until,
why are you pointing
until
at me?
Until someone comes by about? To, I don't know, get that money I owe them or something, and they open
like a
the
month
door,
later.
And there I am, just flies buzzing around. Oh, Allie, I feel so bad for you.
It's hurtful.
What?
And spot on, but also hurtful.
And hey, ladies! What? I haven't even said anything. You're already groaning.
I was going to say get funky, but I don't think that's where you were going.
I wasn't.
Okay.
Who wants to be a Los Angeles Ram cheerleader?
Not where I thought you were going.
Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams.
We're still ramming it, right?
We are ramming it. Of course we're ramming it.
Checking.
You can't ram it without cheerleaders.
That's true.
Looks like the LA Rams are looking for new cheerleaders for their new old team. It's coming back to Los Angeles. You can take a workshop if you want to blow the dust off your moves. You want to, knock off the rust.
Is it dust or rust?
Both.
Okay.
Dusty Rust, which, by the way, is my first radio name back in the
dusty
day.
Rust.
Hey,
rust.
You listen to Dusty Rust in the evening.
Yeah! That's hot!
On March 20th, 24th, and 26th, they're going to be having some workshops for cheerleading wannabes at... 24-hour fitness clubs throughout Los Angeles, and then the actual preliminary auditions will be held on April 2nd and 3rd at USC's Galen Center. You got to be 18 years of age or older, and you have to submit an application before Thursday, March 31st, if you'd like to audition. You can find out more at cheer4.therams.com. cheer4.therams.com.
Now, is 4 F-O-R, or is it the number 4?
Oh, good question, Kevin.
It's important.
If you want to cheer for the Rams, do you think it would be the number, or do you think it would
shorthand,
be the
man,
word
that's,
F-O-R?
That's how things are going. I'm just trying to clarify.
Cheer for, C-H-E-E-R-F-O-R.
Okay, C-H.
E-E.
E-E.
R-F.
R-F.
O-R.
Dot Rams.
O-R. Nope, you probably got to put an O-R in there. Dot the Rams. And that's the Rams, T-H-E-R-A-M-S.com. Com being spelled C-O-M.
I see. Okay.
No, there's no IC in it whatsoever. Those are different letters. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Lily Collins, who could not be more lovely and charming and talented. She is 27 years old today. I can't believe Phil Collins gave, well, he didn't give birth to her, participated in the genetic makeup of that young lady. Yeah. She's a China doll. She's pristine in her beauty.
Take a look at her now. She looks nothing.
Oh.
What? With the...
Put it in the file.
Take a look at her now. Mm. That was too easy for you. You're an easy lover. You just like to...
Oh, man.
You just love things that are easy. That's what you'd like to do. She's 27 today. Adam Levine, Maroon 5 singer, is 37 years old. Dane Cook turns 44. Queen Latifah's 46. Jerry Cantrell, guitarist, of course, for Alice in Chains, 50 years old. And TV host Mike Rowe.
Mike Rowe. Hey, everybody. I'm Mike Rowe.
He's got that voice.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Makes us sound like children.
Good guy with voices and things. He's 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Congratulations again to Jimmy Joe of Rancho Cucamonga.
Jimmy Joe!
Won the grand prize of Radiohead at the Secret Solstice Festival in Iceland, and that is brought to us by Icelandic Glacial Water. Mm. And I would like to also remind people that I will be coaching hockey.
Oh, yeah! Whoa! I forgot about that.
Sunday, what time?
Sunday at 4 p.m., Toyota Sports Center.
El
Segundo, yes, where the LA Kings practice.
Still a few tickets left?
I don't know. I think so. Go to echoesofhope.org. That's the website for... that's the website for Luke Robitaille's charity. And you can go there. You can buy tickets. You can also support the charity. It's a great charity. And I will see you out there Sunday at 4 when I am coaching hockey.
Yeah, and you're coaching like a celebrity all-star team.
Exactly.
You got Michael Rosenbaum. You got Michael Vartan. You've got what other big stars are playing?
Rob Blake.
Is Alan Thicke playing? I know he's a big.
I don't know if Alan.
Jason Priestley is.
Yeah, I think he's on my team.
So like every Canadian actor you've ever heard of will be there as well as Kevin will be.
So go to
Jerry
Echoes of
Bruckheimer.
Hope. Thank you. Go to echoesofhope.org if you'd like to buy.
People are
Steve Kozinnik going to be there?
to see Jerry Bruckheimer.
If Steve's not there, I'm not going.
Steve Kazee will not be there.
No Bruckheimer, no peace.
That's right. So we'll see you there Sunday afternoon at 4.
Who's in
net?
Who's going to be your goalie?
I don't know.
Oh, you're the best coach ever.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Megan Fox, why do you have weird thumbs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's the outrage there?
Right. Right?
Roll another one.
Hoochie coochie.
Just like the other one.
In my opinion, that sucked.
This one seems to be about quit.
Why?
And I need another hit.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz!
No T, not a T in her name. Not one T. No Hutz. It's Hutz.
Roll.
This is not my kind of comedy.
Same.
Just like the other one.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
This one seems to be about
Ugh, this guy's the worst.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you think the song is in Paris is called Paris? Because this is in Paris.
Good point.
What are you going to do for 69?
Just pass it around.
Please, Kevin, not in the face.
I don't want that joint, my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
Pass it on down.
Thanks again for the party. I need to not be here anymore.
You know what? This conversation is over. I'm really not interested.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what they want. It's over. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on, let's go. No time for fooling around. Let's hustle. Let's go. Let's hustle.
He's down on the phone.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
So stick around. We'll both be back, right back.
I love you, Poppy.
That must have been a moment of party.
See you later, Kevin.